Welcome, people of the internet, to the Big League Stew podcast, the inaugural. I am Mike Oz.
And I am Chris Quick.
Hold up, man. Your name's not, it's not Chris Quick. That's not your name?
That's not my name. No.
I knew that, everybody. I'm just kidding. So we have started a podcast now, as you may know, if you've made it this far into what we're doing. And I can't say for sure this is the first ever Big League Stew podcast. They might have done one back in the day, but it is the first one of this installment. Chris and I are going to be talking baseball in all different shapes and forms and whatnot with you guys. And it's something that, you know, Chris joined the Stew. Heck, it's been, what, almost 3 months now? 2 months? 3 months? And it was something that he wanted to do. It's something I kind of wanted to do. So here we are.
Yeah, and I think our main goal here is to, you know, do some newsy, regular analysis stuff, but also, you know, have some fun, too. And that's, I don't know, that's kind of something that we've talked about off the air, but we have some ideas that will hopefully differentiate us from some of the other stuff that's out there.
I am all about kind of the culture of baseball, kind of the pop culture intersection to baseball. So you'll certainly hear some of that on the podcast. And, you know, obviously we write about baseball every day on the site, so you'll see some of that. And I think, you know, we'll have guests on from time to time. We'll bring on, you know, other baseball writers, friends of the Stew, our other Big League Stew writers. We'll get them on, probably some of our Yahoo Sports guys, if Jeff Passan ever decides to return my texts. You know, so I think it's all a variety of stuff. We're going to have fun. We're going to talk baseball. So hopefully you guys like us and enjoy it and subscribe and do all those kind of things. I do have to give a shout out to our friends that do the Grandstanding podcast on Yahoo Sports, Kevin Kaduk and Jay Busby, because they helped us out a lot kind of getting this going. So thanks to them. Check out their podcast. It's really good. That's kind of what we're doing. Chris, you have anything to add to that before we kind of get going?
You did such a great job that I'm just going to let that stand.
Because I'm the best.
Yeah. Yes.
So let's talk some news, man. What's on your mind?
All right. Well, the first thing, the most important thing to me, the Houston Astros. I don't think people expected them to be better coming into the year. I don't think anyone expected this. 26-14. That's tied for the most wins in baseball right now with the St. Louis Cardinals. And I think the question here is just, are you buying this? I mean, I still think it's kind of early in the season, but 26-14, it's pretty good.
I am buying it, Chris, and I'll give you one reason I'm specifically buying it. I don't feel like, and this isn't necessarily about the Astros. I don't feel like anybody else in the AL West really knows what the heck they're doing either. So, you know, the A's are just kind of stinking it up. The Mariners are not who we thought they were going to be so far. The Rangers are the Rangers. And even the Angels, who, you know, seems like should be good. I mean, they're just kind of barely hanging out a little bit over 500. And they can get it together. But I look at a team like the Astros and see, as opposed to maybe somebody like the Mets, who you might ask the same question about, like, you know, the Nats we've seen over the last week, and the Nats have kind of turned it on and came after them. I don't know that the Astros are going to have that same challenge in the AL West. I feel like if they can kind of keep playing the kind of baseball they're playing, that you know, their road to making it to the playoffs, especially in that division, is a lot easier.
See, this is problematic because I came into this wanting to say I don't buy it, and now your argument has kind of turned me around on it, because you're right. I mean, I don't know what team I expect to start suddenly playing, you know, so much better. I mean, I'm still holding out hope for the Mariners to turn things around. I think the Angels will be good. But you're right, there's not a dominant team there. The thing, I just worry that the pitching staff has been led by Dallas Keuchel and Colin McHugh, and I think both of those guys are above-average starters. But Keuchel has looked like a Cy Young candidate, and I just don't think he's capable of doing that over the entire season. And then on top of that, the lineup is just so hit or miss. There's so many guys who are going to strike out. And obviously that was kind of their strategy coming into the year. I'm going to go with I'm not buying it. I think the Mariners can pull this off, turn it around. So I'm going to go negative, even though
Even though Carlos Correa is coming? He's coming.
Oh, well, he's coming. True, too. See, you're putting a dent in all of my arguments. So I feel a lot less confident about this than I did 5 minutes ago.
Here's our news item number two. As everybody knows, the Miami Marlins did something ridiculous and made their GM their manager this week, which is silly. All respect to Dan Jennings, who by most accounts seems like a good guy and respected within the game, but he is now their manager. And that's kind of been covered in a variety of shapes and sizes and hot takes and whatever all over the internet. But this is the question I had, Chris, as I thought about it. What if we woke up tomorrow and baseball had done this thing where all the GMs were the managers? Like, there was no managers, all the GMs had become managers, which would be kind of fun, actually. I think maybe they should just do that for a week and just kind of see what happens. But who would be the good managers and who would be the bad managers? What do you think?
All right, so here is my hot take. I don't think it would matter. I really don't. I mean, if you're, like, the Jennings thing, it's no different than them hiring somebody with no experience. We just have no idea if these managers or general managers would be good in the role. I mean, I guess, you can look at a guy like Billy Beane and say, oh, he's probably going to use more sabermetric principles if he is suddenly managing the team. And obviously that's something that I would support, although I don't really know what that is. I mean, I don't know how much, if you believe in sabermetrics, I don't really know how much a manager can buy into that and impact a team using those types of things. Because the main thing I'm thinking of is like, oh, you bat your best hitter number two, and you don't bunt. So I don't know. I mean, how much does that really improve a team over the course of a season? I don't know that it does a lot.
So you're making the argument that we've heard, which was it Dan Jennings who said, managers don't really win games; they lose them.
I think that's true.
But you're not answering my question, Chris. And my question is which managers, which GMs, if they had to become managers, like, who would do well? Like, can we agree that Ruben Amaro would probably just be a dumpster fire doing that too? Like, or would he be good if we made him the manager? I think he would not be good, right? I mean, can we agree on that?
Well, I don't know. He's like the old school guy. He's kind of the what you think of as a typical manager. So would he really be worse?
Well, Ryan Sandberg seems so beat down that maybe he would just be as normal. I think that Billy Beane would be good. I think, one, he played baseball, which seems to be like one of the top requirements in most people's minds. No matter how good you were, you played baseball, so therefore you're fit to manage. But I also feel like if Billy Beane was the manager, he would just sort of like not sleep and just kind of be wired on Red Bull and just kind of like become, this kind of cyborg guy who just read every single bit that he could and wanted to change the manager game. So I think he would be probably one of my choices.
I feel like Neil Huntington of the Pirates would be pretty good too, because he's embraced the advanced stats, but also a big focus with that franchise recently has been communication, as far as getting Clint Hurdle and other guys on that staff to embrace those same things. So I feel like he's got a good grasp on the mixture there that you need to be a successful manager.
I think Dave Stewart would be good because he could just stare at people and get them to do whatever he wanted.
Yeah, but Dave Stewart kind of falls into the Ruben Amaro Jr. territory, I feel like. Well, just Chris, based on some of the comments he's made this offseason about his signing.
We're not talking about whether he believes in sabermetrics, because we're talking about the fact that if Dave Stewart looked at me, just stared at me, and I was one of his underlings, I would be scared and do whatever he wanted me to do. That's what I'm talking about. He would motivate me to not have my life come to an end, because I feel like he gives you that death stare. And that's why I would be motivated by Dave Stewart if it were me.
All right, I think that's fair.
Moving on.
All right, so this week, as you know, Ichiro Suzuki tied Babe Ruth on the all-time hits list. Ichiro that's kind of his thing. Every year, he's racking up hits. He's posting high batting averages. And so we did a little bit of math before the podcast. It took way too long, but we figured out that between Ichiro's time in the major leagues and his stats in Japan, He has 4,151 career hits. That is only 105 behind Pete Rose. There are sure to be some hot opinions on this, but will you celebrate or will you think it's impressive if he is able to tie or pass Pete Rose on the all-time list, consider if you combine his time in Japan and Major League Baseball?
I think that's kind of two separate questions. I think it's impressive, obviously. I wouldn't see him as, quote-unquote, the hit king. And I don't think most people would. And partially, I think that's a product of, you know, maybe a little bit of, you know, we care so much about what happens in front of us and not what happens elsewhere. But I also think that, you know, there is sort of a standard of competition that doesn't necessarily equal out. I think Ichiro's great, and obviously it would be impressive. It'd be like when he crossed 4,000, which was, I won't say last year, but that might have actually been 2 years ago now. The world just seems like a blur over the last couple of seasons. Like, impressive, but, you know, there's a little bit of a, well, you know, kind of caveat to it.
Right, I agree with you. I think it's a shame because he came over to the major leagues during his age 27 season with clearly had the ability to play at a high level here. And I think it's a shame that he wasn't able to come over here earlier and make what people would consider a more legitimate run at the hit record. You know, I agree if he gets there, I'm not going to consider him the hit king, but you have to factor in some of that, I think. I mean, you can't take away from the fact that he was excellent in Japan, and it just, at the time, it wasn't really a thing Major League Baseball was doing. Players weren't coming over from Japan all that often at that point. He wasn't the first, but he was kind of the guy you look at as the pioneer.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The
first to come and perform on that kind of level, you know, I think is,
yeah.
I think that's sort of what it was. But I agree with you that if he would have come, you know, earlier in his career, there's a really good chance that we'd be having a totally different conversation right now. But that's also the caveat there that I don't know necessarily that, like, do we think he's going to get it? I mean, he had 102 hits last year, 136 the year before that. He's at 29 right now this season, not necessarily playing full-time with the Marlins, who are a team lately that can't really hit. So, I mean, there's no obviously guarantee that he's going to get it, but I think for the sake of conversation, it is kind of fun. I do think that it would be quite hilarious to see how, like, commenters and those type of people...
They won't handle it well, Mike.
No, they will not. it will. Some people, and I mean, the fact that Pete Rose is involved, anything Pete Rose is involved
right.
in is already just crazy. So, and I wonder how Pete Rose would react to it too, because he's always maybe not always the person who has the most tepid opinion on things. So
he's got opinions for sure.
Here's another one. So. We talked about this earlier in the week, and we didn't get to this part, but I think it's good for the podcast. Bartolo Colon has a possibility to be the last Expo standing. Bruce Chen retired this week, and Chris and I we had a whole thing about you know, the significance of Bruce Chen and his career and whatnot, but we didn't really get to this part of it. How great would it be if, because we all love Bartolo Colon, right? How great would it be if Bartolo Colon is the last Expo standing?
I think it would be awesome. I think Bartolo Colon's story is kind of just amazing in general. The fact that he's 42 years old, he's still around. He's been with so many teams, and there are so many points where you kind of thought, this guy's done. This guy is not going to be a good pitcher anymore. And so just to add in kind of the added Expos bonus, it just makes him all the more interesting, I guess. And that's fun. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm not like a big Expos fanboy or anything like that, but it's just a fun little thing. And
I actually forgot. I should have added this. So... Mysaris Touris is the other person involved in this. So he's much younger than Bartolo Colon in the sense that he's 34, Bartolo's 41. So that's his competition. as Turris is right now playing for the Blue Jays, which I guess that's a little bit of like Canada synergy that might be interesting. The question is, I guess, how much more does Bartolo have left? Versus his Turris, who is not obviously a everyday star or anything like that in the league. So, sorry, Chris, to interrupt you, but I feel like we kind of neglected to mention that part of it, like who his competition is. So, given that, does that change your opinion at all?
Not really, because I feel like it's kind of on Bartolo at this point. I mean, he's pitched so well despite his age that I feel like he can still get jobs until he just completely falls off. So he's pitching pretty well this year again. I feel like he could probably pitch next season if he wanted to, unless things just go nuts the last 4 months here.
I feel like he has 2 years left, man. I feel like he can go two more.
Yeah,
Maybe
I mean,
three.
it's tough to look at the age and feel that way, but you look at the stats and you're like, this guy belongs, he definitely belongs in a rotation, and he probably belongs in the rotation of a good team.
Yeah.
So there's
Go
really no
Bartolo.
reason, unless he wants to retire, he can probably stick around for a little longer.
The stew pot has your back, Bartolo. The stew pot. We didn't mention we're calling it the stew pod. That's our shorthand for the
Yes.
and we're doing that because it kind of sounds like stew pot, which is what you cook a stew in. It also kind of sounds like stupid. So take it either way you want, man. That's how we're doing it. So this week we wanted to talk at length about this because it's two gentlemen who we write a lot about, and maybe you saw the story the other day on Big League Stew, but A-Rod loves Bryce Harper, like loves Bryce Harper with like 17 O's in the word love, so like, he loves him that much. And they were playing this week. The Nats were hosting the Yankees, and A-Rod talked to New York Daily News and just basically professed a love for A-Rod, which I mean, love for Bryce Harper, which I think may go unmatched when you consider that Bryce was voted the most overrated player by his peers. A-Rod said, "I love everything about him." He said, and these are quotes, "I like players that play hard. He wears his emotion on his sleeve. He's a gamer. He's a winner. As a fan of baseball, I would pay big money to watch him play, especially to watch him hit." And later on, he talked about how, Bryce Harper was having a breakout season, and his body language and how he's carrying himself. Those are the things that A-Rod is appreciating, and it's not just that he's hitting home runs, but he's walking a lot, and quote, "He's maturing right in front of our eyes, and you love to see that." And A-Rod, for whatever you want to say about him, has a very good perspective on this because he came into the league at 18 years old. Bryce Harper came in at 19. We kind of see what those expectations do to people. Not necessarily easy to live up to or easy to withstand. So I thought it was very interesting that A-Rod was talking about Bryce Harper in that way. And then, on another level, I thought it was interesting that they were both two guys who came into the season with a lot to prove. We know the A-Rod story, obviously. Bryce Harper kind of had this cloud hanging over him, which, in my opinion, was stupid. I mean, he's not overrated. He's not a quote unquote bust. But they both had a lot to prove this season, and I would say at this point they've both kind of done really well, I think. Chris, would you agree?
Yeah, I would. I think, something that gets lost with Harper and is maybe the reason for some of the overrated or bust thoughts is his age. I mean, people don't realize how few players get promoted at age 19 and more or less hold their own immediately. That doesn't happen pretty much ever. And so the fact that Harper wasn't an immediate superstar bothers some people. But then you look at his age compared to other 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds in the league, and he's on this incredible pace. And now, a couple years later, 22, he's clearly taken it to I don't an insane level. I don't know if he can keep up whatever he's doing right now, but this is really something. I mean, what he's done thus far.
Yeah, he's won the NL Player of the Week 2 weeks in a row. He has just been crushing the ball.
Something like 10 home runs in his last 12 games, and I was reading something that said he, and of, I hate on pace for stats, especially, I still kind of think it's early in the season, so I hate doing that now, but I'm going to do it anyway because this is amazing. He's on pace to hit more home runs in a single season than anyone since Barry Bonds, and he's also on pace to take more walks than anyone in a single season since Barry Bonds. So, pretty awesome company, and the dude's 22 years old.
At the time we're writing this, at the time we're talking right now, since May 1st, 10 home runs, 23 RBIs. He's slugging .983. OPS is just ridiculous. He's hitting .400, and I have him in fantasy, and I played Chris 2 weeks in a row, and that was great. But you know, so I think we could obviously talk about how great Bryce Harper's been, and I don't think any rational person can argue at this point. Like, I don't think you can be like, oh yeah, Bryce Harper still sucks. You know, people might say, oh well, he's, yeah, you can't judge him off 2 weeks, but I think most people who've been paying attention can look at this and say, okay, you know, this is the ascent that we've been waiting for. You know, and A-Rod, on the other hand, is sort of a different story where, you know, it was, does this guy have anything left? And he came into the season, I think most people expected he wouldn't really do all that wonderful. And, you know, he had the year off, he has the two bad hips. But, I mean, you know, the Yankees are in first place. The Yankees, I don't think we're a team that people expected to be in first place, even this early in the season. Well, as of right now, they're tied with the Rays at this juncture. And Chris has some thoughts about, I think, you know, whether that's sustainable. But point being, the Yankees are in first place right now, and A-Rod has been a contributor. So Chris, go ahead and get your caveats out of the way there for a second.
About the Yankees contending? Or?
Yes. Give me your. Well, I know you have some Yankees things you want to say, so go for it, and then I'll finish with my A-Rod stuff.
Well, they're making me look pretty foolish because when we did our season predictions, I said they'd finish last in the East. So I'm already looking like an idiot, and that's normal for me. I feel like they just don't have the horses to do it. I mean, the rotation has been a big problem, and they lost Chase Whitley, Masahiro Tanaka, who knows, Michael Pineda, can he pitch 200 innings? You know, and then they just lost Jacoby Ellsbury last night. So I just worry about them being able to do it after losing these guys. But A-Rod, it's been awesome. I mean, it's been... I didn't expect this, certainly, and he was one of the kind of most fascinating guys to me to watch this year just because of all the things you said. I mean, not necessarily the suspension in my mind, but just the fact that a few 39-year-olds play at a high level. He had missed so much time, and he had dealt with the injuries, and you just don't know, I guess. I mean, he's clearly an all-time great player. Those guys tend to age better. But there was so much uncertainty coming into the year.
What I'll say about this is, you know, if you look at Fangraphs, you look at WAR. A-Rod is actually, you know, the third best player in the Yankees right now. He's hit 10 homers, 22 RBIs. I mean, it's not, you know, amazing stuff, but considering the context, I think it is. He's hitting .248, which again, I mean, isn't wonderful, but you know, given the context, I think it's actually really good, and he's been as productive as a lot of players that you might think are a lot better than him. You know, he's been as productive as Freddie Freeman, for example. He's been as productive, actually better than Adrian Beltre, according to Fangraphs. So, you know, it's again, not that A-Rod is out there playing like an MVP, but he's playing a lot better than he has. And I think he's proven to us that, you know, he has at least something left. So I guess to tie this back together, Chris, who's been more impressive to you, A-Rod or Bryce Harper?
Well, I want to say one thing first, before we get into that, which I'm sure...
I'm sorry, I apologize.
No. I'm sure it will inspire some great comments. But I feel like A-Rod, as a baseball mind, he is really intelligent as far as baseball and understanding the game. I remember reading some article where he was talking about Didi Gregorius. I think it was in spring training. He was using like scouting terms, and you could tell that he understood the game and he knew exactly what he was talking about. So I feel like that has that's definitely helped him this year, because there's a lot of talk in spring training about his bat speed. not being where it used to be. And I think maybe that's reflected in his poor average. But I think he's just so intelligent as a player that he can kind of make up for that with a high walk rate. And then obviously when he's getting the pitches he's looking for, he's still able to hit them out. So I just want to talk about how smart I think A-Rod is. And I'm sure that's going to play really well.
Chris, you and your A-Rod love, which I have a thing for that in a second, but I do want to ask you who's impressed you more this season.
Okay, so the more impressive performance is Harper, hands down. The more unexpected performance to me is A-Rod, because I just didn't anticipate him being useful at all.
I'll pretty much disagree with you exactly, so we don't have to belabor the point much. But I do want to throw this out to people who maybe don't know, or you know, don't know some of the behind the scenes stuff, or maybe don't read your tweets. But Chris has, I would say, a man crush on both A-Rod and Bryce Harper. So this whole thing made me want to play a game here on the podcast, because I think this is the perfect place for this. And Chris sort of knows what I'm about to do, but he doesn't really totally know, so I think he's kind of scared. I'm gonna make him choose Bryce Harper or A-Rod in various scenarios that are sort of absurd. Chris, I sense you're somewhat uncomfortable with this, but I'm going to do it anyway.
We'll just see. We'll see where it goes.
Chris, if you were going to the movies with either A-Rod or Bryce Harper, who would you rather go to the movies with?
All right, so this is the only one I kind of knew was coming. So I've had time to think about this one, and here's what I've come up with. If you're going to see a movie like Mad Max, you're going with Bryce Harper. Because you want your bro there, you're going to have a good time, you're going to talk about explosions and stuff. If you're going to see something more analytical, or maybe something sad, you're going with A-Rod.
Because A-Rod's just a big ball of emotion?
I think you could have an intelligent conversation with A-Rod about a deep movie.
You might get his feelings to come out finally, actually.
If you're going to see Interstellar, go with A-Rod.
I would pick A-Rod all across the board, just because I feel like Bryce Harper's hair might smell. That's my take on it.
Probably smell great with all that product.
and A-Rod has way more money to spend this so far.
That's true.
A-Rod would just buy out the theater for you, man. It'd just be you and A-Rod buddying out at the movie theater. If your car needed a jump, if your battery died, A-Rod or Bryce Harper?
I would go with age here. I would go with A-Rod. I'm pretty dumb when it comes to cars, and I recently had to jump mine for the first time in my life. I had no idea what I was doing. I had to look it up on YouTube. So I'm just assuming that Bryce Harper has not had to do this before, and A-Rod maybe.
You think A-Rod has?
Well, I guess that's a really good point. But you know, A-Rod, you think of.
I'm going Bryce, man. I think that Bryce Harper, like, you know, his dad is sort of like a blue collar guy. I'm pretty sure that Bryce Harper knows how to jump your car.
I actually don't know this. Is A-Rod a dad? Is he a father?
Yeah, he has kids.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, jumping a car is a dad thing. So A-Rod automatically knows how to do it, in my mind.
If you were going to go to Guy Fieri's house for dinner, who another?
Oh, that no, Bryce Harper. That's Bryce Harper, without a doubt. Can I have both of them there, actually, for that one? No. Because that's a dream come true.
Oh, man. All right. You didn't even let me finish. That was so good.
Yeah.
You were like the guy on Jeopardy who starts answering before Alex Trebek reads the question. Who would you rather play Monopoly with, A-Rod or Bryce Harper?
Oh, that's – well
– this is a good one. I'll tell you why. This is this. You would think A-Rod probably, right, because he's a little more experienced and knows business. But I bet you Scott Boras has run Bryce Harper through a whole bunch of, you know, how to be ruthless scenarios. So I don't know. What do you think, man?
Well, see, I was going to take the opinion that we know A-Rod has cheated in other things.
Yeah.
So you'd really have to keep your eye on him. But I kind of like that. I like the added competition. So I'm going to go with A-Rod for that.
All right. It's the last one. And I would say it's the best one. It really is. Who would you rather date, your mom, A-Rod?
Oh my God, this is awful. You're a monster.
I am. This is how we do the inaugural Big League Stew podcast, folks.
I would go with A-Rod because I don't want to. I mean, I'm older than Bryce Harper, so I'm not having that, and I'm not calling him Mr. Bryce.
stepdad Bryce Harper.
Yeah, like, I'm not doing that. So, I guess A-Rod.
Both of them might break your mom's heart, man, but I think that A-Rod, maybe in his more matured state, might, you know, have kind of that bonding relationship with you. You're like, hey, Chris, you want to go have a catch?
I could see that.
A-Rod would do that for you. So, yeah, all right.
And then he would teach me how to jump a car.
I hope that wasn't too embarrassing for you, Chris. But
I loved it.
All right, good, good. That was fun. All right, I think we've reached our end point. So thank you guys for sticking it out with us. We promise to keep going. In fact, I can even preview our next episode. We're talking to Evan Longoria about shoes and the Tampa Bay Rays and things of that sort. So that's what we got going. This is a legit podcast. We're gonna keep it up. The Stew Pod, as I'm going to call it from now on. Chris and I will be here. We'll bring in some of our other friends, and maybe we'll get A-Rod to come hang out, and him and Chris can have a catch.
Just hang out on the couch, watch some TV, all that good stuff.
Do you have any final words for the people, Chris?
I don't. I don't have anything profound. I'm enjoying baseball, and that's great. And I think between now and the next podcast, Bryce Harper will hit at least 3 home runs.
It's a good call. I think that's a pretty safe bet, really, considering the pace he's been on. Well, thank you guys for hanging out with us on the Big League Stew podcast. We will be back next week, and I guess all we have to say is go Astros. Subway home, I lost you in a fever when this